Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. The time is 9:02 a.m. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. In attendance are Senator Hughes, Senator Stevens, Senator Machicki, and myself, Senator Holland. I see Representative Prox is in the room. Brief at ease. Pardon? Back on the record. Thank you, Senator Machicki, for joining us. Once again, senators in attendance are Senator Stevens, Senator Hughes, Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Holland, and welcome Representative Prox into the committee room this morning. Thank you to Mary Gwen and Carrie, our recording secretaries, and our moderators today, Leo and Nate. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. Today, we will hear an update from the Department of Education. Commissioner Johnson, welcome back before the Senate Education Committee. If you please care to take a seat at the presenter's table and begin your presentation. Please place yourself on the record.
Yep, for the record, I am Michael Johnson, Commissioner of Alaska's Department of Education and Early Development. Thank you, Chair Holland, for the invitation. It's truly a privilege to be before you as a committee and to be before you individually, because it's been almost 2 years since I've seen most of you in person. It's been a couple of years since I've done this live in person, so please bear with me if I miss protocols or other things, but I really look forward, have been looking forward to being with you today in person and get to see you, so thank you. Today's presentation, as you said, is an update that will hopefully serve as a teaser for upcoming hearings where you will hear much more detail about the things that I'll talk about from staff and also from other constituents, from districts and associations that we partner with. Before I begin, though, please let me thank all of those who are serving, advocating for, working on behalf of, participating in private, public, homeschool education in our state. Even as I was getting ready this morning, I kept thinking of more things that I would love to share with you about what all of those folks have been doing. But it certainly would take more time than we have. But I hope that in the presentation today, I can focus your attention on them and what they've been accomplishing. I will leave some great things out of the presentation today. But you should know that our education partners, our parents, our students, all have stories to tell that I hope you'll hear during this session that'll inspire you, that'll motivate you, and that'll reassure you that regardless of my limitations to articulate all that's happened today, will give you confidence that good things are happening in our schools and for our kids every single day in the state. I especially want to thank the folks at BEAD, some of who are behind me. What a dedicated bunch of people. It's been such a joy and a privilege for me to observe them, especially the last 2 years, and how genuinely they want to help school districts serve kids well. And so I appreciate all the employees at the department. All right. How do I make it move? Red thing. Okay, we'll see if that works. All right, you've seen this before, and hopefully as we all come before you during this session, you will hear a shared mission and a shared vision for Alaska's public education system, because we can only improve together. We can't do it separately. And that togetherness not only includes a shared mission and vision, but shared priorities. 4 years after first being adopted by the State Board of Education, these five priorities of the Alaska Education Challenge remain our best pathway out of the pandemic. In fact, the board has established five board subcommittees around these five priorities to identify work, especially regulatory work, that may be needed to help move these priorities forward. I sincerely appreciate this committee and each of you individually for the work that you have done over the past 4 years to advance these priorities. Some of you even participated in that very first meeting in 2017 that eventually turned into the Alaska Education Challenge. You've been stalwart in your support and in your work. Our work on a comprehensive reading bill is a prime example of something that came from those initial conversations of the Alaska Education Challenge. And as our associations and partners bring forth their own joint position statements focused on funding, I hope that we at the department can continue to support them and districts by trying to encourage the expenditure of those funds focused on these priorities. The remainder of the presentation today really is a very high-level overview of work that's been happening under each of those five priorities, not only by the department, but by our partners too. Oops. All right, first of all, first priority is reading. The State Board remains strongly supportive of a comprehensive reading bill without a lot of accessories. By comprehensive, I mean a bill that includes high-quality pre-K, accountability for reading interventions, and additional resources for our lowest-performing schools. As Emily Hanford, an investigative reporter that you may be aware of, states, she says, when kids struggle to learn how to read, it can lead to a downward spiral in which behavior, vocabulary, knowledge, and other cognitive skills are eventually affected by slow reading development. A disproportionate number of poor readers become high school dropouts and end up in the criminal justice system. Not all, but a disproportionate number. In response to legislative intent language, the department conducted a survey of districts regarding K-3 reading instructional practices. I want to give just kudos to the department as a side note, and to all the districts, 100% were responsive and gave us information. DEED staff worked really hard and have been really busy, and I'm deeply grateful for the folks at the department that helped make that happen. When you have time to review the results, you'll find great inconsistencies across the state. This is not an accusation. It's a challenge that we can meet with strong statewide reading policy. Here are just a few mentions of other work that we are doing related to improving outcomes, reading outcomes around the state. And many of these are happening with our partners. In partnership with the Region 16 Comprehensive Center that's run out of CERC down the hill here, DEED is working on an Alaska Reading Playbook that is based on the science of reading instruction, and we plan to provide professional development through a series of webinars to support educators. And so that playbook, that handbook, will go out that every district, every school, educators can use. We are also currently updating the Alaska Literacy Blueprint. That document has been needing updating, and we're working on that. Deb Riddle's involved in that. In December 2021, the DEED Special Education Team released a dyslexia training e-learning module. The necessity of this work was validated by the survey that we released. So though that work started before the survey, it was validated by the results we got from districts, educators needing training. We are currently working to hire a couple of long-term, non-permanent positions using our COVID funds related to unfinished learning to help support reading improvement around our state. If a reading bill passes, those positions would likely become permanent positions in the department to support districts. In partnership with the Northwest Evaluation Association and the Consortium on Reading Excellence, DEED is offering professional development through a series of reading classes this spring. Those are entitled Supporting Effective Literacy Instruction. There'll be a capacity for up to 100 educators to participate in that. Additionally, in partnership again with the Region 16 Comprehensive Center, we'll be offering letters training, which you heard a little bit about in your committee hearing with the State Superintendent of Mississippi. There's a capacity for 60 teachers and 30 administrators for that training that we'll be offering. And we continue to partner with other states, including Mississippi, to learn from what they've done and how they've supported educators to improve reading outcome. And this one, please mark your calendars. I'm very pleased to announce that announced on April 29th through May 1st, DEET is going to host a Science of Reading Symposium in Anchorage. We are working with our partners, and we'll have more details that we'll be putting out soon. We will be paying for staff from all our targeted and comprehensive support schools to attend. We're inviting national as well as in-state experts on reading. We are working with ASB, who is going to hold a law and policy day adjacent to the reading symposium. So this is an opportunity to bring together many different stakeholders to elevate the conversation about improving our reading outcomes. And that includes legislators. We hope many, many legislators will attend the symposium. Parents, teachers, business officials, everybody that should be and hopefully are concerned to help support raising reading achievement.
Question from Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for your dedication to this effort and for all the staff that's backed you up on it. We have heard about how the pandemic has taken its toll as far as children in the for a couple of years and how that may be very difficult to catch up. Have you or the board or any of your staff recommend any adjustments to what we have proposed as an education committee bill? And I know we'll be focusing and talking about that next week. But I think since it is our bill, it would be good to know if you as professionals and experts in this field are seeing any adjustments as far as the timeline or anything that we may need to adjust, at least for the next few years, to help the children, particularly I would think those in second, third grade who have had a more difficult start to their education.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, first of all, I'll take that question and ponder it and take some time to think through, are there changes that would be needed because of the pandemic? Beyond that, I would simply say, please stay the course. Reading is the pathway out of our challenges. And yes, there are many, many other important things, but we can use science, social studies, all the other subject areas to teach reading. So it's not like reading as opposed to everything else. But a comprehensive reading bill that includes pre-K, because we know that we need to get more kids ready for that kindergarten year so that they're on that pathway to proficiency. I think, keep working hard on a comprehensive reading bill to pass the legislature, because I think that will do as much as anything to help us out of the pandemic. One thing that I'll ponder, we are using COVID money. We're supporting districts to use their COVID money. The Alaska Council of Administrators is supporting districts to use COVID money for summer schools, after school programs, that sort of thing, to add additional opportunity for students. And then later on in the presentation, I'll talk about an assessment that I think will also help drive and pinpoint where support is needed.
Follow up?
Just a quick follow up. One of the things I've wondered whether we need to be devising some special interventions during fourth, fifth, sixth grade for those kids coming out of this that will be entering those grades that might be a bit handicapped at this point because they didn't have a normal process. So I just ask that your department consider that and whether we should be, for a temporary basis, adding something like that to our reading bill to require districts to do something above and beyond for fourth, fifth, sixth grade. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Please proceed.
And through the chair, Senator Hughes, I'll just point out that Susie McKenzie is our new Division of Innovation and Education Excellence Director. She's a reading specialist, and at some point she'll be before the committee and can dive into deeper detail about how these trainings will support some of the things that you just mentioned. But we will certainly take your words and think about how we can do that. Okay, moving on. Increase CTE and culturally relevant education. And I'm just going to go through some ways that we've been supporting that. I think the committee's familiar with my comments on how important career and technical education and culturally relevant education is to improving our outcomes. So we have been working, the department, with the Alaska Association for Career and Technical Education. It's an independent group that does amazing work in our state. They are the lead on this project, but we have granted them money, and they're developing a clearinghouse, a website for all CTE educators and programs in the state. The clearinghouse is a new platform that provides Alaska education agencies and educators the means to communicate, to collaborate, and to share effective support of students and CTE programs, both locally and statewide. Because sometimes CTE programs are so isolated that they don't have that collaborative opportunity that really improves opportunities for all kids. Through the clearinghouse, educators can access diverse learning resources for instruction, as well as a community of practice, professional development with their colleagues. They're developing this online platform even as we speak, and will continue to work with stakeholders around the state. They're at the Perkins workshop in February. They'll be beta testing and getting more input on the clearinghouse. This is all being developed with support that we provided from DEED. It's a great project. There's a lot more to it than I just shared, and so I hope at some point the committee can have Brad Billings, our own CTE manager at the department, before you, because he knows a lot more about it, and he can bring some colleagues from the Alaska Association for Career and Technical Education. Another project we've been working on is with Cookin Tribal Corporation on work they had previously been doing, and we've come alongside on digital badging. A digital badge serves as both a recognition of learning and skills of students and achievement, and digital proof of that accomplishment that they can take as they're looking for jobs. For students seeking greater academic challenges and career skill development, digital badging rewards their exploration of fields beyond the standard curriculum. The involvement of Cook Inlet Tribal Corporation as a partner, first of all, they are such an amazing partner to the department even before this project, but it provides for the integration of indigenous content and methods as ways of improving educational outcomes for all students. And they have some great experience that they've been doing as a tribal corporation along this line. So we're really appreciative of them. Another project that we've been working with is the Kusilvak Career Academy. That's the partnership between the Lower Yukon School District and the Anchorage School District. They purchased the Longhouse Hotel, turned it into a dormitory building. KCA, as it's known, has quickly become the principal conduit for Lower Yukon School District students to access CTE. And if you haven't been there to visit the facility, I encourage you to do so. It's absolutely remarkable what they've accomplished in such a short period of time for both the Lower Yukon students and the Anchorage students. It's a place where students access CTE and other needed resources to obtain certifications and licensures that position students to better meet pre-employment qualification, including driver's license. The lack of access to quality driver's education programs for especially Lower Yukon students serves as a significant barrier for students to obtain employment after they graduate. As many employers require a valid driver's license when you apply to get the job. The driver's education program that we supported, the purchase of equipment for that, is based out of the KCA Center and will exponentially increase students' access to this important employability tool, and eventually may even help with such things as school bus driver shortages, which we've also seen this past year. And so it's a great program, and really appreciate the folks at both of those districts. Another program is just as an example of some of the great things that have happened coming out of the pandemic, is the Pathways program in Tok, Alaska. And it was such a joy to be up there and see what they're doing. It's a partnership with the community and the school district, which is something we really are excited to support when those partnerships happen, because it's more sustainable. Pathways is an alternative program within the Alaska Gateway School District designed for high school students who are significantly behind in credits or have other significant risk factors to actually graduating and getting a diploma. or dropping out. It even serves students that have been out of school or dropped out a few years ago to help them go back and get the diploma. The Pathways program serves all sites in the Alaska Gateway School District, providing complete academic curriculum. Academics may be combined with career and technical experience training where appropriate for skills and for, you know, if they need those kind of credits. The focus of the Pathways program is meeting students where they are, regardless of where that is, and helping them find the path to graduate and future success. Pathways has recently moved into a new building, the Keith Irons Youth Center. It was previously the Boys and Girls Club. The building was donated by the Irons family, who you may know from the community, longtime community members. We awarded them a $150 grant to get that program up and going with staff so that they could start screening students right away to address issues that may be related to kids dropping out or having difficulty because of the pandemic. Last thing I'll mention in CTE is NACTEC. I've mentioned them many times before this committee, a great program out of Nome, a partnership between two school districts and many business partners, industry. The NACTEC program have received permission from the Nome School District, the high school there, to convert a storage room into a multi-purpose CTE training room in addition to the facilities they already have. It's a simulator room. The truck driving simulator will assist students who first attain their Alaska driver's license through programs there to then obtain a CDL. Again, this is can help meet many needs in the state, one of which may be school bus drivers because we've experienced a shortage. And so we are able to partner with them on adding an additional simulator that they can use. And they even, these simulators are mobile, so they can take them out to the villages and other places out there and give students opportunity.
A question from Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just recently on a President's Forum meeting, Senate presidents from all over the U.S. and back east. And so I have a couple of questions. I'm not really sure how I'm going to put them. But in the private sector, when computer-based training first kind of started showing up, we felt like we had to have in-house folks that did exactly what we needed in the specific facilities. And what we recognized over time is that there was a lot of pertinent content put out and products at a much lower cost kind of nationally, right? So as our broadband capacity increases in the state, who is, and I'll use the example of civics training, right? So we don't want to create a bunch of unfunded mandates for the school districts, but we do want some improvements in areas as we work alongside of you to do the best we can for the students in Alaska. Is there a team right now working on kind of a specific program that says we're going to look at these kind of national products that we can use in our districts and take advantage of improving, hopefully rapidly improving broadband throughout the state, and this associated savings will help us deliver the on-site, face-to-face improvements such as we have in our committee bill? Is that something that the department's working on right now? Because when we look at the funding that's coming our way and the likely improvements, it would be nice if we didn't begin that intricate planning process at that time.
So through the chair, Senator Machicki, I'm going to attempt to answer, and if I don't go where you're intending, just stop me. So first of all, just for what it's worth, I'll say civics education is already a funded opportunity, and so that leave that there. So
before you go, and the reason I'm sorry, I use that as an example, is that there are many states, even blue ones, that are interested, and they're kind of looking at a national product on the federal deliverability, where it could be an online course, that didn't, some things don't need the same face-to-face as other things. I guess that's the only point. So I that was just a kind of basic example, but I appreciate that.
Yeah. Please proceed.
So through the chair, Senator Machicki, I think the general answer is yes, and there's already some things like that happening. So like the NACTEC example of the mobile truck simulator is an example. I know that the Alaska Career and Technical Association and this platform that they're building is another indirect way to educate folks on what is available out there to have those opportunities. And CTE is just one of them. Another one is, you know, I've been meeting with folks about opportunities for software that has been developed regarding reading, where a student can actually read to the computer and it provides feedback. We worked with some partners to deploy some iPads and opportunities on a pilot program for pre-K students to support them. And so, yes, I think there's, we at the department, I personally have been visiting with folks, meeting with folks, sitting through demonstrations of that kind of software and programs that would provide those kind of opportunities that you're talking about for online delivery of instruction. And even as we work on a new assessment, assessments capitalizing on increased broadband so that it's not just a yes or no or a multiple choice question, but students are assessed on skills. So they're presented with something on the computer that they have to rearrange, move around, build, or whatever to assess their understanding of content and that sort of thing. And so the answer is yes. And then the final thing I'll say, got to participate in the broadband task force that happened over the last year. And one thing that I emphasized, there wasn't much intelligent I could say about all the technical aspects of that, but what I did say is that an essential part of building all that out is that we equip kids to be the laborers for that project. And to do that, we'll have to utilize the kind of training you're talking about, not only just the school system doing it, but partnering with industry who already is deploying that kind of online training so that when that work is happening, we are doing our job and preparing kids to actually do the building out of that. Did that
follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't hear, I heard pieces. I didn't hear comprehensive, and that's okay. We can talk about that offline. I guess I'm getting to from the a question that goes from the basics to a brilliant young woman in Vikjavik being enrolled in AP chemistry in Anchorage, right? When I think about some of the gaps that we have in different places in Alaska, some of it has to do with deliverability and opportunity. And it sounds like perhaps we have more work to do. That's okay. This is fairly new stuff. We didn't know that funding was coming at this level to potentially put us on a level playing field, and I don't expect magic overnight, but it's something we can talk about offline as well.
Senator Begich.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to follow up on the President's comments here. The taking it back to the macro level first, what President Machicki has just described as the consortium element that is in the reading bill, which is really important, but it isn't important if we don't have broadband. And so going back to the macro level and this question that President has asked, what is your, I looked ahead and saw that there was nothing about broadband in the presentation. So I wonder if you could just share with the committee what your expectation from the infrastructure bill that's passed and that's coming to us now is in terms of, and the earlier legislation, the ARPA legislation, other legislation, what is your vision for how we're building out broadband now? Because we know from prior testimony, we were talking between $2 and $4 billion to truly build out broadband in the state of Alaska. Those are some of the numbers I've heard before. So could you maybe share with the committee what you think with the money that is now identified from the federal government coming in, what that broadband vision might be for education in Alaska, because I think that gets right to the heart of the question that the president has brought up. So,
Through the chair, Senator Begich. So I'm going to work my way into your question and maybe circle back to Senator Chiggy's a little bit. So in terms of comprehensive, one thing we did, we've spent, I think it was $1 million to pay for Canvas, which is an online learning management system where all that content can be placed for the kind of instruction you're talking about. And Canvas works with many other platforms. We've been working with the NEA and some of our other partners to implement that. And we, several districts were using it, so we purchased a statewide license so that, first of all, districts could then use that money for other resources, and secondly, so that the entire state could utilize that platform to deliver content anywhere in the state. So content's being added all the time, some of it CTE. I hope you'll have Lee Butterfield, he's a teacher in Anchorage that's been our primary. We contracted with him to help us build that, and he can tell you in detail the content that's being developed and added. And it began as a CTE project, but it includes all sorts of content. And so that is a platform in place to deliver comprehensively to any kid in the state that has broadband capability. In terms of the department's vision or plan, first of all, I'll confess that we're still working with our national partner, CCSSO, and others to figure out what of the infrastructure bill may run through the department. And I don't know that any of that bill will run directly through the department. So we may have to work with other agencies on how that money works. Originally, there were components of the proposed bill that would have been directly through it, and they may still have figured it out, but as you know, it's a massive bill, and some of our national partners will be holding webinars and things like that to help us work through what the impact on us will be. My focus on broadband will be that it's used to benefit students. The building of it, I'm going to leave to people that understand all that, because I don't understand all that, but we will. What we've tried to advocate for is that we prioritize areas where there's students that don't have adequate access. So in the building out of the broadband, everybody wants it, but I think our students need it for a quality education. And so if we can prioritize that building out, those decisions will be made in other agencies or whatever, but we'll continue to advocate for that and to help identify where that is, working with our, you know, the Council of School Administrators and other partners that we can work with the schools to find out where is it not working. But part of the broadband conversation is beyond just the bandwidth to a community, but then that access at home for the students beyond the school building. And so there's a lot to it. We're trying to pay attention to it and figure out where we can. And then also just participating, listening to, webinars and things like that. And then the last thing I'll say is we don't currently have a position in our department that is hired or qualified to work on those issues. But we did get permission, and we'll be putting out a notice to hire a coordinator, director level position for computer science, coding, broadband, those kind of issues that can help us as we connect with our partners.
Just brief
follow-up.
Would you mind, Commissioner, providing the committee meeting times for the broadband task force, if that's still meeting? Is it still meeting? And if not, any activities that you have so that we can become more actively engaged in the process?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, I'm not aware that I think the task force has concluded their work. They published a report.
A lot of nodding heads behind you.
Okay. Thank you. Would you tell me if they were saying no?
Yes.
Okay. And then, what I'll try to do is go back and find what other opportunities that we're participating in, whether it's CCSO or other organizations, Council of state school administrators. I'll talk with Dr. Parity, because I know the National Superintendent Association is doing work around this area too, and I'll try to get you a list.
And Mr. Chairman, this is an opportunity for this committee to perhaps also put pressure on the federal administration's infrastructure office, which is run by former Mayor Mitch Landrieu, to see if we can't get more clarity to help the department. So there may be a letter opportunity here or something like that.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Senator Hughes.
Thank you. This is kind of my baby. It's been something 6 years ago. I saw it coming. I appreciate the Senate President's question. I served on the Broadband Task Force. The report is out. One of the recommendations is to manage what's coming down is to have an office of broadband, at least to get us started. Federal guidelines will be coming down. There's a lot of unknowns. But I will tell you that my prior work in the healthcare field, we emphasized affordability, access, and quality, and those same three things are important when it comes to broadband. We did have discussion about the importance of the remote areas that are suffering right now in the area and lacking in broadband, that there'd be a real priority for those areas. So we've got a lot of work ahead. And as far as what the Senate President was saying, one of the reasons why, and this was all pre-pandemic, because you could see the writing on the wall, online delivery is going to be important with the teacher shortage we have too. I think it's going to be one of the answers. And like the student in the village who needs access to excellent curriculum, it's going to be so important. And I think as we move forward as education committee, the whole idea of virtual education, a lot of bad experiences during the pandemic. A lot of kids turned off about it. A lot of parents not happy with it. I think as a state, and as those, you know, as policymakers, one of the things that we do is look forward to the future, right? And that's what's so awesome about this particular committee, because we're looking forward to the future. And I would like to be part of an effort to make sure that any virtual education that is offered in this state be of the highest excellence, because if it's not excellent, it shouldn't be offered, because it can be detrimental to the child and can turn them off and lead them down to a pathway where they might drop out of school. So I think we need to make sure the standards of what we deliver online are excellent, and we shouldn't reinvent the wheel. If there's some great things out there, we ought to utilize them. So I'm excited about the coming infrastructure and the opportunities, and I'd love Alaska to be a lead in the nation and get it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, a couple of things. Quality matters, whether you're online or in the classroom. And so the experience of a child matters. And just because we put them back in a classroom doesn't mean that that's going to be a great experience either. So we have to support our educators as they're, it's the most important in-school factor for a student. Through the Canvas program, all that content, part of the plan and vision is that, you know, folks will create content. That will be the platform. Then there'll be a little badge on the courses that have been reviewed by the department. We have to figure out the resources and people to do that. But that is a quality issue, that the content has been reviewed and measures up to whatever, you know, standard is high quality standard. And there'll be a little deed badge or whatever on that content for that. And so that's something that we are addressing. But I appreciate the admonition. There were difficulties with online delivery, but none that should throw out the baby with the bathwater. It's an opportunity, especially in Alaska. We have some great partners in the state that will help us and out of state that will help us with that. And I think it's something that I hope the whole system will focus on the opportunity of online learning as we address the challenges that we've experienced.
Please proceed.
All right. Thank you. So closing the achievement gap. In July of this last year, 2021, DEET announced a $1 million grant to the Alaska Federation of Natives to scope tribal compact name education in Alaska. AFN is currently researching relevant federal and state laws, regulations, and policy directions, continuing to engage with Alaska Natives on current concerns and aspirations for quality education for their children, and designing basic compacting seminars for educators and administrators that trace the origins of the federal trust relationship and of self-determination policy. The project will culminate in pathways for the Alaska Native community to engage in a positive and meaningful way to further self-determination and compacting in Alaska. A final scoping document will be presented to the department and, of course, shared with the State Board of Education and with the legislature. And this is really work that continues. I think the vision, Senator Stevens has a bill with tribal compacting, and as we received COVID money and realized the impact that the pandemic had on all students, including Native students, I had some great conversations with AFN on, rather than us trying to come up with the idea and present to them, that we now had the opportunity to provide them with resources to develop an idea and bring to us to evaluate and consider. And I can't compliment AFN enough on the manner in which they're doing this work, their attitude, their graciousness, their concern and interest to serve all students well. And I hope at some point during the session you get to hear directly from them on this work.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you bringing this up. Commissioner, we've my office has been working with AFN as well. And I think we've come to realize that the bill that's now in this committee is maybe biting off more than we can chew, and it is addressing statewide and going into tribal compacting statewide. So we're looking at a possibility of some serious adjustments to that bill, which may make it more of a trial basis. It would be nice to start off right and make sure that it succeeds rather than having some failures across the state. So making sure that if we do tribal compacting, that we start with one small unit and make sure it's working, and that may bring in additional federal funds to make sure it's done right, to help with the curriculum. And so I think I'm looking forward to talking to you about, Mr. Chairman, and making some adjustments to that bill, and like to see us move that forward out of this committee.
Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, and through the chair, thank you, Senator Stevens. At their AFN convention this year, President Kitka invited me to come with her and the governor, and announce that, you know, they had also, they submitted a white paper that proposes a demonstration project, is what they're calling it. I think it's a brilliant idea, and I think it really shows, in my opinion, the wisdom of, rather than us trying to figure it all out, like you said, it's a big bite to chew, and we, by nature, don't completely understand the entire process, but asking them to help us, and they've come up with what I think is a brilliant idea, and I look forward to supporting you as you develop that legislation and helping get that through. I think it'll be good for all students in the state. Another grant that we've worked with is another project with Cook Inlet Tribal Corporation that will build upon work they've been doing, some really successful work on education initiatives, determined to help all tribes in the state determine best pathways to further Alaska Native involvement in the public education process through chartering STEM programs, computer science, and other education models to improve outcomes for students. CITC, as you know, has a long history of increasing tribal ownership of education for Alaska Native students. CTE is such a great partner for DEED. Their work, in my opinion, is absolutely critical and bridges the gap in both time and in practice between the status quo of just keep doing what we've been doing and statewide tribal compacting for education. So like the Senator Stevens mentioned, a demonstration project for compacting and this effort to help current students and tribes work with the schools that they have in their community. I'm really grateful for that partnership. School improvement. Another way that we're hoping to close the achievement gap, DEED continues to work on our successful school improvement processes. This is work that is done in connection with the Every Student Succeeds Act. It supports districts that have schools that are targeted support and comprehensive support. We are working with a cohort of different schools around the state, and lots of revisions happening with that program in partnerships with associations. Another one that you may not naturally think of, but I thought worth mentioning, is work that we're doing on that the State Board did on world language regulation. So we had a request that we change the definition of world language, of a foreign language, excuse me, to world language, which has happened in many other states and already in our largest districts. By doing this, it means any non-English language, including our indigenous languages, which aren't foreign, they are part of our state. And so the State Board put out regulations that are currently out for comment to change that definition and create lots more opportunities for badges on diplomas when you learn a world language. So we're appreciative of the board for that work. Another work that's happening in the state is ANSEP. Many of you know the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program. Wow, they're expanding. They're really doing some neat things in other parts of the state other than Anchorage, Bethel, Northwest Arctic. And I sure hope the committee has a chance to hear directly from them on some amazing things that they're doing around the state that I think will be very beneficial.
Senator Begich.
Just Mr. Chairman, thank you. Commissioner, you jumped over the NWEA ballot statewide assessment. Could you just describe that? That was the third bullet point.
Okay. Well, I'm out of order, but it's right here in front of me.
So oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. It was greatly introduced by Senator Begich, I'm going to talk about a new assessment. Another impactful way that we will be closing the achievement gap is through a new statewide assessment. Traditionally, as you know, and you've been involved in, many of you longer than I have, the state drops in a new assessment on top of districts, regardless of what they're already doing. Our approach with this new assessment has been to come alongside what is already happening and working in classrooms while also serving the federal and statewide requirements for accountability. Just a side note, since she's in the room, I recently, sometime this summer, looked back at my email, and the first week I was commissioner, Dr. Parody and I exchanged emails about updating our assessment and making it more aligned with NWEA MAP assessments and what was happening in the state. And so this conversation, it's taken a while, but it is something that we've been doing in partnership with educators, and I'm really thankful for that. We are working with our partners, not only ACSA, but the NEA and others. And I think that there may be even I think she's working with the Senator on a lunch and learn or some opportunity to provide you lots more detail about the new assessment so that you're familiar with it. And when you go back and meet with constituents, you have the information that you need. We're also working with teachers so that they can help shape this new assessment system. For example, this will be the first year that so many districts have been giving MAP assessments for years and years. There'll be some modification to some of the questions to meet federal and state requirements, so it'll be the first year that it's used as our accountability system. And we look forward to, after we give it, meeting with educators to find out and get input on the administration of it. How did it work? It's not just a one, the summative part is 1 year assessment, but MAP is something that happens three times a year. And it's essential that we do that because this is an opportunity to use that data, not just to label a student one time a year, but to determine, are they growing? Are they achieving, making the progress all through the year that they need to be proficient? We're going to be working and saturating the entire process with professional development. We included that in our contract. We've dedicated funds to that. And we'll be working not just with teachers, but school board members, parents, legislators, everybody that's interested on how we can not just give a test, but we can use it to benefit kids. And so I'm very excited about this new assessment. Look forward to you hearing more about it. Okay, teacher recruitment and retention. You've heard a presentation late last session on this, so I won't spend as much time, but this is really great work. A lot is happening. I'm pleased to announce that Barbara Adams applied and was able to receive the contract to continue this work for the next 3 years. We did use COVID funding for that because The pathway out of the pandemic includes quality educators, and we know that that's the pandemic's also impacted our ability to recruit and retain educators. Six areas, just as review, were identified: enhancing recruitment efforts, strengthening working conditions, restructuring retirement options, developing leadership, creating paraprofessional pathways into certification, and streamlining certification. The other thing is recruitment and retention issues are facing every single state in our country, which means there's a lot happening nationally around this issue, and we're benefiting from that because there are more webinars, seminars, collaborations that we can even participate in. ECS, that I know you're familiar with, Education Commission of the States, will be a great resource because they're tracking all this and will provide lots of ways that the legislature can participate in that effort to improve that. I have meetings regularly on this topic, and both here in state, nationally, working with our partners on how we can make sure we're addressing that issue. Then safety and well-being.
A question from Senator Hughes.
So before you move from that slide, I'm seeing the phrase in the last bullet, simplifying qualifications. Can you reassure us that we're not making it easier to become teachers, but this, what do you mean? Are we simplifying the process to show that we're qualified? We're not lowering the bar, are we?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I hope we are making it easier to become a great teacher. And so any bureaucracies that are in place that are simply perfunctory that may have been at some time and place necessary but no longer are, I hope that we can change those. The other thing is we want to make sure we have not just more teachers but great teachers. So I can assure you that there's nothing that we're doing that would lower the standard, but I think we need to try new pathways, and it may be that we find that some of those pathways don't work out as well as we want to, but I sat through some webinars just in the last year on micro-credentialing. So rather than the traditional 4 years in a college teacher prep program, maybe you work your way to certification through some micro-credentials that are very honed and specific trainings that lead to certification. We have many people that have worked in schools for years and years that aren't going to leave their community and go to a four-year college, but are very skilled, and if we give them the training, deserve certification. There's other yesterday, I just was interacting. Tennessee just, for example, announced a residency to become certified. So they're working with the universities, but they're also working with a couple districts on a pilot program that would allow you to get a job in the district, work with the university, and become a teacher more like a medical residency program rather than going to school for 3.5 years and then just doing one student teaching experience. That gives the student the opportunity to be paid while they're working, to work with master teachers, teachers that are identified as great, to help shape them while they're working in the school in various roles. I think that's an alternative pathway that doesn't lower quality or standards, but creates a new pathway that will make people nervous because it's different than what we've done for a long time.
Thank you for that clarification.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, one of the things I've noted about your tenure as commissioner is your willingness to not just work with the existing partners, but to expand partnerships. And I can just, I want to make the assumption, but confirm it, if you will, that as you talk about these new pathways to building better teachers and finding ways to streamline the system, you're working with your partners as you do that.
Through the chair, Senator Begich, absolutely. In fact, I think I have a meeting with Dr. Parody and Steve Atwater tomorrow, the next day, something.
Commissioner, I must confess, I glanced over Dr. Parody, and she was nodding her head, you know, so I think we got that down. The reason I bring that up, Mr. Chairman, is it's something that hasn't always been the practice of the department. They don't tend to, in the past, the department didn't always consistently work with school administrative associations, school district associations, teacher associations, and others. in vetting their ideas. And so what you'd end up with is all kinds of conflicting messages, conflicting sorts of information coming to the legislative committees. That has not been the case in the tenure of Commissioner Johnson. And I think it's important to make sure that that's known so that we can be reassured that we're not lowering quality, because teachers and administrators don't want quality lowered. So when I hear these innovations, I'm pretty confident that those innovations are being built with a broad constituency, and I think that's important to note on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Okay. Senator Stevens.
Just one comment. I really appreciate we're finally moving ahead with recognizing that we have some tremendous assistant teachers in our classrooms. I represent probably 8 villages, and in almost every one of them, there's somebody in that village who volunteers in school and actually is hired in the schools. Simply cannot become a teacher because they are home-based in that community, and they have their own family, and they're adults, and they can't go away to get a college degree. So I really appreciate your moving ahead on this, Commissioner. I think there's a tremendous opportunity out there. Probably not enormous numbers, but those numbers will make a difference. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bachicki.
I apologize for having to leave, but I do have an important meeting at 10 a.m. Just to close out that little segment, some of the most amazing students you have, the gap that we're seeing is some of the parental interaction. Some of the most amazing students you have were taught with love at home, with someone has become a specialist in some very important skill sets, and I'm glad to hear that we're willing to consider that, even if it's on a limited basis. I think we're all in agreement here. That very gap may be the key to a second grader's success. So sometimes on the one-on-one, the district simply can't afford that kind of time and investment, but some of those home-based specialists may be just the key for some of those solutions. So I'm not talking about anyone I know very well, but I might be.
Thank you, Senator Bachicki. Commissioner Johnson.
Through the chair, in response to all of those comments, agree with every one of them, and I come to the place where I don't think you can say in one breath that we need to grow more of our own teachers, and then the next breath defend doing it the same old way that we've always done it. And so I think that we do have a lot of people in the state that would benefit kids. We just need to expand their pathways. And, you know, Senator Begich, it only takes one to go out with what you think is the brilliant idea and realize that you didn't talk to enough people and have it fail to work with lots of other partners. But we in Alaska are very fortunate. Not every state has the positive partners that we have in Alaska, so we're very fortunate. All right, I will try to move quickly. Safety and well-being. I'm going to talk about some things other than the pandemic, because that's we all know that's work that's happening. I just want to update the committee. I know all of you have been intimately involved, but the Alaska Safe Children's Act, it was through that act, we authored a curriculum, worked with the Moores that many of you know, titled Breeze Law Education. This is a graded, banded dating violence and awareness and prevention, sexual assault prevention and awareness program constructed to assist districts in complying with the student training requirements within the Alaska Safe Children's Act that the legislature passed. This essential safety training is for students in grades 7 through 12. It's being delivered via the department's e-classroom, which is part of the e-learning program, offered at no cost to districts. In addition, we've already begun work on phase 2 of that program, which includes creating new activities and new scenarios so that the content doesn't get old to students year after year. And we did work with the Moores on this, and excited to see a completion. Obviously, the pandemic has impacted the rollout of it in terms of getting folks together, but I was in one of our rural schools last fall and was very pleased to be walking down the hall and just noticed a Breeze Law poster up on the wall. And so I'm glad that that's getting implemented. We also are working with the Mental Health Trust and partners from DHSS, visioning and working toward mental health supports and services for Alaska students. A primary takeaway from that collective is a need for more information on the landscape of current mental and behavioral health supports that are available around the state. The Mental Health Trust is funding a position in the department, and we appreciate that partnership. And I hope that sometime during session you can have some of our health and safety team before you to get more detail on work happening around that sensitive but very important topic. You're all familiar with the trauma-informed framework. We continue to get requests from around the country to share that work. And in January, a year ago, we rolled out that whole framework, the booklet that maybe you got a copy of. To date, we've sent out almost 10,000 copies of that that booklet around the state. And so it is having a impact. We're building out the website, which is a full of, it's a toolkit with videos and other resources to help districts as they implement that. And then we have another e-learning module that we are developing that our whole e-learning program has over 70 trainings on it that are available on a number of subjects to districts. I think we have 31,000 people signed up to utilize that platform. And so it's another way that we're helping to support districts with that. Okay, and then finally, I'll close with
Senator Hughes.
Thank you. I'm just wondering with, we are hearing there's an uptick, particularly among high school students due to the COVID pandemic, maybe not having all the social interactions that there is an increase in some problems. And I'm just wondering, there was an active shooter incident in the lower 48 not too long ago, and I hate to bring up, but such a troubling and dark subject, but I am concerned that if we're seeing an uptick in those kind of issues, mental health issues with our young people, that we could see an uptick in those kind of incidents. And I know in our local district, I've had conversations actually just last week with our mayors, our police departments, our trooper detachments, superintendent, school board president, about our preparedness for that kind of incident. And working to make sure that we are. And one of the things that is available, and I haven't Googled it yet, but it's called the Safest School in America, and apparently it's a school in Indiana, where they use some dollars to put into infrastructure particular to that kinds of incident that provided automatic locking doors and such. And I'm just wondering whether there is, if there are any COVID dollars that, because of the uptick in mental health issues that's beginning to be documented, whether any of that might be available, any federal dollars might be available for that kind of infrastructure for the school districts. Are you aware of anything? And is there any, do you have anybody working on that particular subject matter as far as mental health related to school health safety in the department?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes. So in terms of funding, districts in Alaska received almost $500 million, $500 million in the three COVID packages. And certainly some of that qualifies to be used for facility upgrades related to safety and well-being and that sort of thing. And so, but that's at the discretion of the district. Recently, I've had conversations with folks at both the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, who manages crisis response in the state, regarding safety issues with school districts and our responses when they're threats and how we can make sure that our response, I'm not qualified to evaluate a threat, and so I'm not going to step into that role. We have people in the state, though, that are very qualified to do that and are very willing to support the department in getting communication out to districts. So we're having those conversations. Departments, I'm not aware that districts are required to send us their crisis response plans or measures or whatever, but that's a conversation that we can have that we don't want to wait till something happens. We want to be proactive.
Just follow up, are you aware of any federal dollars that could be used for infrastructure in light of the increased mental health problems we're seeing in young people. Are you aware of any funds that could be used for infrastructure for that purpose in our schools?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, yes, the $500 million districts received as part of their COVID response money.
And follow up, do you know what they have remaining of those dollars?
We can get that to the committee, but I don't know that off the top of my head.
Okay, and I'd also follow up, just be interested if there's other federal money, maybe even in the infrastructure package related to that, because I think there's a general awareness that there's that concern, and it seems like there might be, so I'd be curious if it's available.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Commissioner Johnson.
Through the chair, we can also work with our other partner agencies. There may be money, you know, coming specifically for that purpose that I'm not aware of. Okay, final slide. Future discussion topics. I just thought I would throw these out for the committee's consideration. Obviously, you'll want a presentation on, you know, the latest enrollment counts from November. As Senator Hughes just mentioned, a thorough presentation on COVID relief funding, both, you know, in the department and school districts, other agencies. A presentation to dive in deeper on the system of school improvement. The state board, we are planning to be here in March. Always, you never know what COVID's going to do, but planning for them to be here in March to meet with the committee in person. And then deeper dives into any of the topics I covered today. And then I just want to mention civics education. I put an asterisk there because I don't necessarily have a presentation or people in the department, but I put civics education on the list, not because I or the department necessarily have a presentation, but because I hope you will circle back around to this policy area. There are other states who have done this really well. This past year, the Fordham Foundation, who is widely respected for their analysis and ranking of state standards, published an updated review of all 50 states' civics and history standards. Alaska under an F in both our civics and our history standards. So we have work to do, and I take that very seriously at the department. Staff at the department are working on identifying funding and processes to tackle this important work, and we hope that will be in partnership with clear, concise, and firm direction from the legislature regarding civics education. And if you'll allow me, I'd like to just read one quote from a report entitled Educating for American Democracy.
Please do.
Students hunger for a deeper understanding of their country's origins, development, triumphs, errors, and travails. In fact, a group of public school students in Rhode Island recently brought a suit against the state arguing that an adequate civic education is an American citizenship right. In its response, the U.S. District Court acknowledged, quote, a cry for help from a generation of young people who are destined to inherit a country which we, the generation currently in charge, are not stewarding well. We would do well to pay attention to their plea, end quote. Still quoting from that report, an informed, authentic and engaged citizenry would benefit from a better grasp of Americans' distinctive ideals, how our institutions work, and how we the people strive to perfect our founding ideals and tradition of self-government. All deserve an education that supports reflective patriotism, appreciation of the ideals of our political order, candid reckoning with the country's failures to live up to those ideas, motivation to take responsibility for self-government, and deliberative skill to debate the challenges that face us in the present and future. History and civics are closely related and intertwined subjects. And so I hope that that is something we circle back to, because my favorite line is that I want to motivate our students to take responsibility for the freedom and the government that we have. So I'll end this update before you. As members of the legislative branch of our state government, it's entirely appropriate, and I know you know this, but it's entirely appropriate for you to not only have expectations for our public school system, but to express those expectations, those high expectations, for Alaska schools through strong legislation. So I look forward to assisting you as a committee. I look forward to assisting you individually as legislators as you continue that work in the coming session. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Senator Begich. Nothing? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate your putting savings education on that list. I think we're not doing things right, not just in this state, but throughout the country. I read about a poll, and now I can't seem to find it, but the poll showed that a poll of American students, I don't know how many, but showed that those students, almost half the students, would prefer socialism over democracy. We're just not doing things right. Students have to be taught and have to be encouraged. So we have a bill that we've been talking about. Concern about it has been that it's high stakes, and that's not the intention of all. You can't graduate because you don't pass it. Frankly, I don't care how many times you take the test. You take it 20 times, but every time you take the test, you're learning something. And on to another subject that I hope you'll address. I don't know how we address this, but also we're finding throughout the country there are fewer students going to college. Serious decline in the number of students who want a college education. And this is a question I probably have of the university, but it's really in your bailiwick as well, because we're preparing students that are simply not college bound. And we know the impact it's going to have. I mean, kids may say, well, guys, if I don't go to college, I can get a well-paying job and I can make money right now. But that's a short-lived money advantage. We know that students who go to college, in the end, make more money, they're better satisfied, they have more positive lives. So I hope, Commissioner, there's some way that we can address what should we be doing to encourage more college-bound students?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I hope I don't sound too redundant, but, it's a complex question covering, a student's life from kindergarten, pre-K to 12. But in my opinion, it starts with strong reading policy, because if a student can't read proficiently, then they're not going to enjoy, for the most part, their school experience. And so they're not going to look forward to continuing that education after high school. And we know that many of them won't even graduate from high school. And so, though that's not the complete answer, and I don't want to suggest that if we just do that, we'll have solved that problem, but it certainly begins with improving our reading outcomes in our state. Secondly, I think the career and technical work we're doing that starts kids on a vision and pathway to have a vision for their own future, so to speak, so that they do pursue post-secondary college or training in those areas. I think that's important work. And then I'll give kudos to Director Santa Eifert over at ACPE. She is hot on the trail of increasing our FAFSA completion, because we are the lowest state in the country when it comes to completion of FAFSA, which is another indicator of kids going to college. And so she's even personally gone to high schools and set through career days and things like that to get more students to fill out their FAFSA. So those are just a few ways. But working with our university partners and, making sure the K-12 system and the university system are working hand in hand to provide those opportunities for kids.
Commissioner Johnson, thank you for this high-level overview with so many special sessions looking at fiscal issues for over the last half of the last year. It's kind of nice to get back to the business of education. Thank you so much for the presentation today. And you mentioned COVID, not sure about the March event. COVID seems to be swirling around everywhere these days. It's all over my social circles. But so we'll just have to see where we go from here forward. Is there anything else from the committee today?
Yes.
Senator Begich.
I think we would be remiss, Mr. Chairman, if we didn't acknowledge this is last week of one of your employees. Erin has been tremendous in all the work that she's done and the support she's provided, certainly my office, and I suspect yours as well. And I just want you to know, Commissioner, you're losing an amazing asset that the hospital is gaining, but we will miss you, Erin. And I just wanted to put that on the record. I think it's important for us to acknowledge the team, not just the commissioner, but the team.
And through the chair, if I just may add, since you brought it up, I told her I wasn't going to mention it. I am super thankful that you let me have this hearing today before she left, because she has been such a right arm to me that I am going to have to learn how to do it all over again. We have other great staff in the room. Colette Schroeder is taking Aaron's place. Sarah Emmel is going to be assisting with presentations. She's at the department. Deb Riddle is here. I said on the way over here, if I drop dead, just hand the binder to Deb, and she'd be able to pick right up. And then who else is in there? Colette, Deb, Aaron. So, yes, Aaron goes, though, with my 100% support, and I'm just so proud of her. I'm thankful, and I'll certainly miss her, but we won't be too far out of touch.
And good luck in your future endeavors. With that being said, is there any other business before the committee? And seeing none, our next meeting will be Friday, January 21st at 9 a.m. With no other business, we will be adjourned at 10:17.